The following dramatization is based on official documents, personal interviews, and published accounts.
Angel Flight 86 Alpha Bravo, you are clear to taxi via Alpha for runway 26.
OF Tower 86 Alpha Bravo, ready for takeoff on 26. Confirm IFR flight plan open.
Alpha Bravo, clear for takeoff on 26 vector. Flight level.
Alpha Bravo climbing on runway, heading for 7,000. Good day, sir.
I hope you're all tied down back there. We got takeoff clearance.
Brad, you can get that later.
I got that, no problem.
Brad, a handsome paramedic, is tidying up safety jackets. A plane lines itself up on the runway, ready for takeoff. But as it does so, it jolts and knocks Brad off his feet. He goes to sit.
I'll get to that later.
All set, Chuck. How about you? You need a hand up there?
The plane soars into the sky. British Sky Broadcasting presents Angel Flight Down, starring Patricia Callamber as Teresa Bagshaw and David Charvet as Brad Brown. Directed by Charles Wilkinson and written by Michael Petrini. It's voiced by Edward Nutt on behalf of the MCS agency. Brad and Teresa sit side by side, buckled into their seats.
Well, what are you doing this weekend?
My son Travis is learning how to cook. I'll let him handle the kitchen, make a fire, curl up with Bob.
Well, wake me up when we get there.
Teresa, a middle-aged paramedic with long brown hair, gives a wry smile. The plane flies over snow-covered mountain peaks and lands at a medical center covered in snow. A doctor wearing a white coat places a stethoscope on a child's back.
Okay, hon, one more cough. And again? Just to be on the safe side, I'd like to do an x-ray.
Why? What's wrong?
I'm not sure. I need a closer look. Let's go. Hey, come on, pumpkin, let's go see what you look like on the inside, okay? What's that?
Pretty sure it's metal. Something she swallowed.
They look at an x-ray of the child's windpipe.
There's a non-surgical procedure we can try to get it out of there. OR, please.
The child's in an operating theater.
Okay.
All right, and now I'm
going to
show you. Wait. Yeah, I did.
What's your blood pressure?
140 over 95. Okay.
How's her heart rate?
99.
What's your heart rate now?
125, 129, 131, 139. She's tacking. 140.
She can't take it.
We did a bronchoscopy, but we were unable to remove it. We can't operate here. It's too risky.
There's an infection that could spread to the heart or the lungs. We have to fly her immediately to Children's Hospital in Denver.
I can't overstate this. Her condition is extremely serious.
My wife's terrified of flying.
A 7-hour drive is too dangerous.
I'll fly with Sammy.
I'll make the arrangements.
You go with Mom and I'll meet you at the hospital in Denver.
As the child lies asleep, the father looks on anxiously. Teresa's at home in a dressing gown and towel drying her hair.
I'll get it. Bagshaw residence.
Okay, I'll be in 20 minutes.
Who's that?
Sorry, honey, I gotta go back to work. Why don't you come with me? You can ride back with Dad.
But you just got home.
I have to go. We're flying a little girl to Denver for surgery.
Mom, there's a big storm coming in.
I know. We'll get out before it hits. Aw, Travis, what's the matter?
I just wish you weren't flying Angel Flights anymore. I mean, look at it out there.
Hey, it's my job.
Teresa hugs an unsettled teenage Travis.
I'll be back in time for your birthday.
Teresa and Travis pull up in a 4x4 at the medical center. A handsome, middle-aged man with brown hair wearing a grey leather jacket and black cap stands by a helicopter. Teresa walks up to him.
Hey,
pretty good looking.
I gotta fly out to Denver. A little girl's sick.
Oh, terrific.
Listen, take Travis home. He's worried about me.
He's worried about you and he's not worried about me?
He's worried about you flying the chopper too, but he won't admit it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about this when you get back. You gotta hurry.
Right.
Love you.
Love you.
The couple kiss and Teresa leaves, waving at Travis. He looks on in disgust. Brad's teaching his son to ski.
You're a tough guy, aren't you, buddy?
Ready to do it, Keller? Come on.
Daddy, come with me. I'm scared.
You can do it by yourself. There you go. There you go, Justin. That's it. Bend your knees. Piece of cake. Yeah. Oh. You okay there?
Hey, you guys. What in the world's going on, hey. Huh?
You okay?
I'm okay, Daddy.
You okay, sweetie?
He's gotta do it by himself. That's the only way he's gonna learn, right?
Honey, we need to talk. You know, I think that we should just put Justin in the church kindergarten.
There's two things wrong with that. It's at the church, and it's at the church.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, all of Justin's friends go there. I think that it would be good for him.
Brad. Angie, I gotta get the phone. I'm on a call.
Can we finish this conversation?
Yeah, around here.
Brad. Teresa,
you gotta come in.
Well, do I have time to take a shower? I've been,
No, the patient's a 2-year-old girl with a fever of 105. We're flying her to Denver.
I'm on my way. I gotta go.
Great.
Brad crosses to Justin.
Come here, buddy. Oh. Your daddy's gotta go and take a plane to Denver tonight.
Don't go, Daddy.
See, there's a little kid like you who's sick, and we gotta try to save her life.
Way that it always is, you know that?
Angie, this is my job. What do you expect?
I expect you to give Justin and I equal time. Brad.
I gotta go.
Brad puts on his blue ambulance jacket and leaves the woman who looks on sadly. Brad arrives at the medical center in his Jeep.
Hey, Maria.
Hey, Brad. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.
We better move out.
How's she doing?
Not so good. We didn't have time for introductions before. I'm Teresa Backshaw. I'll be the flight nurse.
Hi, Jack.
Brad Brown.
My wife, Patty, and my mother, Loretta.
Kiss, kiss,
the woman kisses the child on the cheek.
What's that? Oh, that's what she calls her bear. Hey there, Val. Gonna take good care of you, too.
Teresa places the bear at the child's side.
Hey. Hey, everything's gonna be all right, okay? I love you.
Okay, we're off then. Let's get a move on.
The plane's being prepped. The child is strapped into the hospital trolley and wheeled out to the waiting ambulance. She has an oxygen mask over her face.
Watch that IV. I'll get the front.
The ambulance races off towards the waiting aircraft that has its propellers idling. The ambulance stops next to the plane. Its back doors are opened, and the little girl is taken out on her bed by several ambulance crew. She is lifted from one trolley to another. The child's father looks on nervously as his daughter is taken on board the plane. Brad comes over and ushers him aboard.
Jack.
The pilot speaks.
Yo, Brad, how you doing?
How you doing, Rick? Jack, this is Rick. He's our pilot. Rick, this is Jack Barr. He's the patient's father.
Welcome aboard.
Jack, come over, sit over here. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what'd you do, break your razor?
I'm gonna do this real quick. Gosh, you're good. Is that bothering you? I'll make it more comfy. Is that okay now?
Mrs. Bagshaw?
Teresa, Jack.
Shouldn't she be in some sort of infant seat or something?
She's strapped in tight.
IFR flight plan to Denver. I have information, Lima.
Air Ambulance 86 Alpha Bravo, you are cleared to taxi on an IFR flight.
short of Bravo.
This is an air ambulance. It's equipped for any kind of medical emergency. We've got antibiotics, oxygen, medical instruments, supplies.
Thanks.
Relax, Jack. We'll be in Denver before you know it.
The plane taxis through thick fog.
What's that on the window?
I'd say it's ice.
Can the plane take off with ice on it?
Look, you're gonna have to chill out, okay? It's no problem.
86 Alpha Bravo, ready for takeoff on 26. From IFR flight back
over. Alpha Bravo, clear for takeoff. 106 back there, no flight 714. Confirm your flight plan is over.
Alpha Bravo climbing on runway heading 26 to flight number 14. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
Rick, the pilot, pushes the throttle forward. The twin-propelled plane accelerates down the runway. Rick pulls back on the controls. The plane leaves the tarmac and flies into the air towards snow-capped mountains. The ground is covered in light snow. Jack looks out of the window nervously as opposite him, Brad writes a report in a file. Rick is a middle-aged man with brown hair and thin lips. He sports a red cap and is chewing gum. The little girl wears an oxygen mask. Teresa tends to her by stroking her hair and checking the drip levels as well as monitoring her heartbeat. The plane flies over the mountains and is soon flying through thick cloud. Rick looks out above him through the windows. Still chewing gum, he flicks switches on the control panel. The plane emerges through the clouds into sunshine. Jack, a middle-aged man wearing a woolly cardigan and an overcoat, slackens his tie and relaxes. Brad smiles to himself, closes his file, and looks at Jack.
See? Smooth as silk, huh? Nice job, Rick.
Brad puts away his pen and file in a bag. Mountains are covered in snow, and the sun shines in a cloudless sky.
I'm just going to check your heart, okay, honey?
Teresa listens through the stethoscope to the little girl's heartbeat and next checks the heart monitor. She then puts away the stethoscope and walks to the cockpit at the front of the plane.
Rick, do me a favor, call ahead to the hospital, give our ETA.
Sure, Teresa, I'll have Denver Center relay the info. Denver Center, 86 Alpha Bravo.
So, what do you do for a living? I'm the youth minister at my church. Great. What's the matter? You got a problem with God?
No, let's just say that him and I have never been the best of friends.
Well, I'm sure he won't hold it against you.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to get a couple minutes of shut-eye. I've been skiing all day.
Skiing? Skiing and a paramedic. Thrills and spills.
I'm a ski patrol and I save lives, okay?
Brad reclines back in his seat and closes his eyes.
Here, give me your hand. I'm just going to check one thing. Do you know what this is? This is going to check and see.
Jack looks on, concerned.
What's the matter? What's wrong?
The sound of the engine lulls him to sleep every time. Don't worry, it's good for her.
Brad looks at Jack in disbelief.
Hey, it's my kid.
You're right, I was out of line. I'm sorry, Preacher Man.
Don't call me Preacher Man.
Brad rests his head against the window of the plane, closes his eyes, and shakes his head from side to side. The aircraft continues to soar through the sky. Rick looks concerned at the control panel of the plane. He looks out of the window to one side, then looks back at the controls. He flicks a dial with his finger, then looks out at the right-hand side propeller. He looks back at the dial and flicks it with his finger again. He pushes two levers forward and Teresa and Brad look on perturbed. Rick gets on the radio.
Aspen Tower, 86 Alpha Bravo.
86 Alpha Bravo, go ahead.
Got a bit of an engine problem here. Requesting a vector back into Grand Junction.
Alpha Bravo, making 13,000 feet on a heading of 26 Alpha.
Brad goes to Rick.
Hey, what's the matter?
We've got a bit of engine trouble.
Is this serious?
Well, serious enough to go back down and check it out.
It's pretty bad out there, isn't it?
Brad? Don't bother him now.
The plane banks sharply to the right.
What's going on?
We gotta go back.
We got engine trouble. We gotta go back to Grand Junction.
Go back? We can't go back. What about Sammy?
Put her on another plane as soon as they can get one prepped.
No. There's not enough time.
Jack, we can't go on with only one engine. We'll do what we can.
Teresa covers the child with blankets as Jack looks on helplessly. The aircraft banks hard to the left. Rick holds onto the controls, which now shake. The plane continues to bank. Thick, dark clouds slowly begin to form as the plane goes out of control. An airport control tower.
Alpha Bravo, climb and maintain 14,000 for minimum IFR altitude en route.
Sir, I don't think we're going to be able to climb to 14,000 feet. Can I make it through lower?
Alpha Bravo, stand by. 11, Aspen. November 86 Alpha Bravo has a situation developing with his right engine. He's unable to maintain IFR minimum approach for Grand Junction.
Is he going to Grand Junction or is he going to Rifle?
He's going to Grand Junction.
Copy that.
The control tower personnel look at each other with concern. Inside the plane.
Gotta get everything tied down just in case.
Everything?
Yes, everything, right now. Tell Rick to call ahead and make sure another aircraft is ready as soon as we're down.
Rick, we've got Brad.
Sit down.
It's getting dark and the aircraft continues to fly through mountains that are covered in low-lying clouds. A car driving slowly through snow. Jack's wife speaks.
I feel like the whole world's against me tonight. I just wish I was with her.
Well, they should be in Denver by the time we get to Glenwood Springs. Jack will call home as soon as he can.
Come on.
We'll stop and get a cup of coffee. Make sure he has.
It's gonna be okay, sweetheart.
She looks uncertain.
Okay.
A sign lights up in the car's headlights. It reads, Denver, 217 miles. On board the plane, Teresa buckles the child into her bed. Jack looks on worried, wiping his mouth with his hand. The plane continues flying whilst Rick moves different levers back and forth. He looks at the engines on the right and left of the plane. He tries to control the aircraft by moving the controls left and right. He pushes the steering rack in and the plane dips. The plane flies precariously through low dense cloud. Back at the control tower, the lights are low and one of the men who's chewing gum and pacing back and forth speaks to the other who sat at a computer.
What's Rifle got for weather?
Socked in. They're reporting 10/10 cloud cover as of 0200 Zulu.
He'll never make it out on the one engine.
What? You should warn him off?
Where to? The guy's got zero options.
Back on the plane, Teresa surrounds the young girl with pillows. Jack gets up from his seat and moves towards his daughter.
Sit down, Jack. Sit down.
Jack, you're going to have to sit down. Put your seatbelt on.
Brad pulls Jack away from his daughter and back into his seat. He sits down and clasps his hands together and puts them to his lips. In the cockpit, red lights begin to flash. The plane suddenly dips and Rick fights with the steering lever to bring the plane back under control.
Oh man, we're lost!
The aircraft flies dangerously close to the mountains as snow lashes the plane. Rick, with a look of agony on his face, fights with the controls. The plane shakes violently. Brad speaks.
Come on.
they manage to pass over tall trees when an engine cuts out. Rick talks into his radio.
Atman Tower, mayday, mayday, mayday. This is 86 Alpha Bravo, 86 Alpha Bravo, 86 Alpha Bravo.
Rick, we're going in for a stall. Copy. What's happening?
As Teresa, Brad and Jack sit buckled into their seats, the plane takes another nosedive over a mountain and the aircraft begins to vibrate violently. Rick continues to fight with the plane. Brad speaks.
Rick, we're losing speed! Need more speed, Rick!
Shut up, Brad. He's flying.
86 Alpha Bravo, please stay in position. 86 Alpha Bravo.
Well, folks, it looks like I'm going to have to set this thing down. I want you to get everything tied down back there, okay?
Oh, my God.
With a look of intense concentration, Rick tries to bring the descending aircraft back under control. One of the propellers has almost stopped turning. Rick speaks.
Give me a place, give me a place.
Hey, her bed's loose. Is she gonna be all right?
No, she's strapped in. She's strapped in.
Give me a place. Give me a place. Give me a place. Give me a... Got it. That's the tower. I am going in for an emergency landing in a clearing due south of
the... Rick notices a clearing in the trees. Hands clasped, Jack prays.
We're gonna crash! Lean forward!
You said
chill out! Jack, lean forward!
As the plane begins to clip trees, Teresa covers the little girl by leaning over her. Rick pushes a lever backwards and the plane rapidly descends into the clearing that's littered with fir trees and covered in snow. The steering column of the aircraft trembles in Rick's hands. Rick leans forward, but as the plane hits the ground, he's thrown back. In slow motion, Teresa is thrown off the little girl's body, and Rick is thrown brutally from side to side in the cockpit. The girl's bed comes loose and runs down the plane and into Brad's chest. He doubles back in agony. The wings bring down trees on either side of the plane as it continues to surge forward, tearing up the ground as it goes. Jack reaches out to his daughter as her bed rolls off in another direction. Debris from the plane flies everywhere and Jack and Brad are thrown backwards as the plane hits more and more of the uneven ground. Windows are torn from the side of the plane and Teresa is hurtled down the length of the fuselage, banging her head on the seats as she falls. The plane bounces one last time, finally coming to rest on a snow-covered slope. At the control tower.
86 Alpha Bravo, please state your position. November 86 Alpha Bravo. 86 Alpha Bravo. He's gone. We've lost him.
Advise search and rescue. Angel flight down.
Among the twisted carnage of the aircraft, Teresa, Jack and Brad all lie unconscious on the floor. A small light flashes near Brad's face. It's a beacon light built into the back end of a torch. Brad begins to regain consciousness. Brad turns onto his back. A streak of agony crosses his face. He notices the flashing light on the torch and picks it up and slowly shines the beam around the wreckage.
Teresa. 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 Teresa.
Brad slowly crawls to the devastation and sees Teresa motionless.
Teresa. Teresa.
What? Anybody hurt? Jack? Rick? Rick?
Sammy.
Sammy. Teresa, where's Sammy? Sammy.
Brad, you gotta help me here. Brad, help me.
Teresa lifts an upturned bed off its side, and strapped to it is the young blonde child, Sammy. Her eyes are closed and her body's limp. Teresa undoes Sammy's buckles. Jack speaks.
Sammy, how is she? Is she all right?
Teresa checks for a pulse.
Oh, baby. Tell me. Tell me.
She's breathing. She's got a pulse. I think she's okay.
Oh, thank God.
What about you? Are you hurt?
My head. I'm bleeding badly. My head.
Put your hand on it. Hard. Hard.
Okay.
Brad?
My ribs hurt like hell, but I'm here. How you doing?
Teresa.
How about you?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Teresa looks at Brad. Her vision is heavily blurred.
You want to check on Rick? D.I.V.
Rick? Rick? Come on, buddy. Talk to me. I can't hear him. I can't see him. There's too much stuff blocking here. We got a mess. What's that smell?
We're drenched in aviation fuel. We gotta get outside and see if there's a fire.
Teresa kicks the plane's door.
It's jammed!
Brad opens a window that's an emergency exit and climbs outside. One side of the plane is covered deep in snow. Brad scrambles through the nose of the plane and looks into the cockpit through a broken window.
Rick!
Rick! Rick! Rick, talk to me!
Help me out of here! Come on!
Brad pulls Rick out of the cockpit.
You okay? Okay. Go in here, 1 second.
Oh, God.
Brad leans through the broken window, shining his torch.
Brad?
Yeah.
Brad?
Checking the radio, see if there's any power up here.
Damn it! The radio's dead. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Oh, God.
How you doing? Okay. I need your help, okay, buddy? I'm gonna take you back. All right. Okay.
Brad gives Rick a fireman's lift. A car pulls up at a diner. Patty gets out wearing a long black coat. She has the collar up and is followed by an older woman.
I'm gonna call Dad.
Go ahead, I'll get some coffee. Officer, is the pass clear up ahead?
Yes, ma'am, so far anyway. Snow's accumulating up in the pass, so we're advising anybody who doesn't have to be on the road to stay home.
Hi, Dad, it's Patty. We're in Glenwood Springs. Has Jack called? Are you sure? Have you been home the whole time? Okay, thanks, Dad.
Patty steps away from the telephone booth, looking puzzled.
What's the matter? Jack hasn't called. Something's wrong, I can feel it.
Well, now maybe he hasn't had a chance.
I hope you're right.
The older woman approaches Patty with some coffee. She takes a cup from her, and they walk off. Back at the crash site...
All right.
Okay.
Rick is hauled in through the fuselage window. He is positioned in a chair by Brad, who then covers him in blankets. Rick's face is streaked with blood. Teresa shines a torch at him.
Mayday.
Rick, you're here. Rick, relax. You're here, okay? Relax. He's disoriented.
Okay. Jack, can you hold this?
How's she doing?
I took the IV out of her to try to keep the freeze from going in.
Teresa and Brad crouch down close to each other on the floor.
It's bad, isn't it? It's just a scratch.
Guys?
My shoulder, it's...
Let me see.
She's cold. Sammy's cold.
All right.
Yeah.
I think you may have a shoulder fracture. You should try to keep it immobile as much as possible. Maybe Brad can make a sling for you later. Can you hold on to Sammy a little while longer?
I can hold her no matter what. How's she doing?
Rick. Rick?
She's cold.
Can you hear me?
I'm so sick. My stomach, I feel like I'm gonna throw up.
Sorry.
It's kind of sick.
How's that ear?
Okay.
So what do you think?
Not too good. He's all the symptoms of a serious head injury. And there's not much we can do about it. If we don't get out of here quick, he's not gonna make it. And neither is she. Jack,
keep Sam and Healy.
I'm gonna check and see
if
she's
doing. It's all right, Rick. I got you.
Brad goes to Rick, puts his arms around him, and opens a packet containing a large bandage and places it on the side of Rick's face. Later on, Brad has the bottom of his shirt in his mouth as he applies a bandage to his injured ribs. His face contorts with pain. Rick pulls off his blanket and undoes his jacket. Brad speaks.
What's the matter with him?
He's delirious. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Rick, take it easy.
Sit down.
Watch his head.
Relax, buddy.
Rick.
Relax.
Rick.
Relax.
Rick.
Teresa places a pillow behind Rick's head.
It's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
Brad covers Rick with a blanket.
Serious, isn't it?
Hypothermia.
If we don't get him out of here, he's gonna freeze.
Freeze? Are we all gonna freeze to death?
No, we're not.
But he said that he was on his way to freezing to death.
If we work to stay warm, we'll be fine.
What about Sammy? She'd be the first one to...
She's not gonna die. We're not gonna let her die. I mean it.
She's everything to me.
Jack, I have a child. And so does Brad. He has a little boy. Kids are everything. We're not gonna let her die. We can make a bed, use each other's body heat to keep warm. They know we're down. There'll be a search plane looking for us.
So how long will that take?
We had a 120-mile-per-hour collision with the side of a mountain. We're still here. I won't let her die. I promise.
The medical center.
Okay, let's get moving. ATC just cleared us for night flight. Why isn't my chopper warm enough? Come on, guys. Seconds are ticking by. Why isn't anybody up there?
Bob, there is no emergency locator signal coming from the wreck. The transmitter is either... inoperable or destroyed.
Bob looks on distraught.
Without a radio beacon, the only thing we can do is a visual search for first light. And it doesn't look very good. I'm sorry, Bob.
Bob slumps on a chair. He's dazed and confused. Back at the plane, Teresa lies blankets on the floor.
At least we'll have something between us and the cold floor. Get Rick.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
Brad lays Rick on the blankets.
Jack?
Jack lies down next to Rick, helped by Teresa. Brad hands Sammy to Jack, who wraps both of them in blankets. Finally, Teresa and Brad lie down and cover themselves up.
She's shivering, but she feels so hot.
It's the chills from the fever.
For the skiers.
What?
Snow. The damn storm front's caught up to us.
How are they gonna find us in that?
I don't know.
Brad watches the snow fluttering down through a gap in one of the windows. The control tower. Bob sits at a desk.
I checked Glenwood Springs, airport and Eagle, nothing. I mean, maybe he turned back into the mountains, which is on a heading of 2-6 back into the prevailing wind.
The only logical course after that is an instrument landing in Aspen. That puts him between Rifle and Aspen. I'll meet you at the top.
I'll call the Civil Air Patrol and file a flight plan.
Back at the plane, it's dark, and the aircraft is being covered by snow. With a knife, Jack rips out the foam from the back of a seat, and he and Brad stuff it around a broken window. Teresa blows into her cupped hands.
I can feel snow coming in.
I'm getting buried alive.
They'll never see us.
Right. We'll pass this way to the cockpit. I can feel the cold air coming in from the front window.
How are we gonna get out of here? Maybe we can dig our way out when he quits. Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Rick. Wake up, Rick. Wake up, buddy. Rick, wake up. Come on. Where is the ELT?
Good, Brad. The ELT.
Where is the ELT? Try to remember. Come on, wake up, Rick. Where is the ELT?
What's an ELT?
An emergency locator transmitter. It goes off when there's a crash. Search button and homes in on its transmission.
Come on. Think.
Rick? Rick.
What?
Try to remember. The ELT.
Come on.
The ELT.
We gotta make sure it works. Where is the ELT, Rick? Wake up. Damn it, Rick! Wake up!
Easy.
It's no use. His brain's a mess.
It's
Teresa stops Brad from shaking Rick, who looks on bewildered. Teresa looks at Rick, powerless and exhausted. A white helicopter takes off near a control tower. It circles round and then travels into the night. With its taillights flashing, it flies over vast, dark, snow-capped mountains. In the cockpit are Bob and the man he was talking to in the medical centre. Bob reluctantly nods his head. Back at the plane, Teresa has a needle in her hand.
What are you doing?
Keeping her hydrated. It'll help her fever. Sammy, Come on, honey. Can you wake up? Sammy?
Hey. Pumpkin. Come on, wake up. Come on, wake up. Sammy? Hey. Wake up. Sammy?
Patty and the older woman are in the car, traveling.
Something's happened. I know it. I know it.
Sammy's probably in surgery right now. She's gonna be fine, dear. Everything's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be just fine.
Patty looks out of the car window doubtfully. Back at the plane, Teresa tries to wake Sammy, who is still asleep.
Hey, Sammy, wake up. Sammy? Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi. Here, open up, sweetie. Want a lollipop? Huh?
Atta girl.
Hey, open up. Hey, look what I found. I found your bow. Huh? I'll put him right in here so he can keep you company. Okay, there you go. I want to say something. I believe in God. And I believe he will protect us in this time if we pray to him. Hey, you can pray all you want, all right? But leave me out of this. I don't need you to preach to me. Brad.
I wasn't going to preach. I just wanted to say what I believed. I thought it might help. My faith is always... got me through.
I'm glad you told us, Jack. I'm glad you have that to hold on to.
Brad looks with contempt at Jack. Bob talks to Brad's wife.
The plane went down.
In the mountains?
Brad's wife looks distraught. She embraces Bob.
I've been out looking, but the weather closed in. We'll blanket the area at dawn.
Oh, God, we had this fight right before he left. Justin.
Her son appears at the bottom of the stairs.
He's sleeping. He should be under the cover, snug as a bug. Don't you know it's snowing out?
But my daddy! Oh, my daddy!
Well, he can't be here right now. I'm sorry. How about I take you up to bed, huh? Okay? All right. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Hey, tell me. Now, you ever really seen a cow jump over the moon?
Bob carries Justin up the stairs. Brad's wife, Angie, looks out of the window. She's tearful. It's snowing hard. Back at the crash site, Brad shines a torch out of one of the plane's windows. He lies back down on the bed with the rest of the group.
You okay?
Yeah. You sure?
Cold is like a knife. You know, I was thinking about Angie and when I was on air rescue in Alaska for the Air Force. I used to describe the crashes to her. I guess I needed her to think that I was some kind of hero or something. Now she probably thinks I'm one of the gory details.
Brad looks up thoughtfully.
I have done so many things that are wrong. And if we ever get out of here, I swear I'm going to do things different. Yeah.
He flashes his torch on and off through the plane's window. At the Mountain Emergency Center, Bob speaks.
Yeah, we're flying out on our own at the first light. How soon can they be here? Thanks. I got two more search planes coming in from Denver. How you doing, Robert?
I got planes coming in from Aspen, Utah, the whole area. Talked to Brad's wife yet?
Yeah, it was hard on her.
Yeah, well, she knows the odds. Geez, I'm sorry, Bob.
It's okay. I know the odds, too. I think I'll go home. Try to catch a couple hours.
Bob leaves the room.
Still gotta tell his kid.
Bob pulls up outside his house in a car. The house is a pine lodge with snow on the roof. Bob walks into the kitchen where his son Travis lies asleep at a table with his head resting on his outstretched arm. Bob throws his cap on a chair and shakes his jacket to get the snow off. He looks around at the mess left in the room. A collection of used mixing bowls, flour and other cooking ingredients lie scattered around. He walks to a stove where he moves a kettle. He looks across at the sleeping Travis, agitated. Travis slowly wakes. Bob quickly averts his eyes, wiping tears away.
What's the matter, Dad?
Your mother's plane ran into a little trouble.
Trouble? What kind of trouble?
It went down in the mountains. There's a chance that she's still alive. And we're just...
A chance?
Travis.
This is winter in the Rockies.
Travis, listen to me. If there's even the slightest chance, you can bet your mother's never going to quit fighting. Huh? Hey, neither are we.
Travis walks over to Bob and they break down in each other's arms. At the plane, Teresa scribbles on a piece of cardboard that has Happy Birthday written on it. Rick speaks and Teresa shines a torch at him.
Teresa. Teresa. It's back there. It's in the back. In the compartment in the back. In there.
Rick, what are you talking about?
In the back in there. The ELT. In that compartment.
Brad jumps up from his bed and breaks down the compartment door with his torch. Teresa follows behind him.
I got it.
An orange box is connected to the wall.
I got it. You know it working? Are you kidding me? This is gonna bring a search party right on top of this. What's wrong?
It's dead.
What?
The antenna is busted. Teresa, this was our last chance.
Back at the Mountain Emergency Rescue Center, Bob speaks to his colleagues.
Fixed-wing aircraft will be in the vicinity of what we believe to be the crash site at first light. We'll follow in the choppers at daybreak. Any questions?
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure. Who are you?
I used to work for Mountain Rescue over in Denver. I came down to warn you.
Yeah, well, we know what we're doing.
You don't even have an ELT signal. And without an ELT signal, this search is like trying to find an icicle in a blizzard. Now, if there was a 5% chance, I'd say go for it. But there is no chance. And if you go out there today, some of you are very likely not to come back.
Bob looks crushed.
Maybe we should put this to a vote. I don't want anyone to risk themselves too much on my account.
All right, fine. Let's take a vote. Everybody who thinks we ought to get up off our butts and go find these people, say aye. Aye.
Bob gives his friend a gentle pat on the back in appreciation. Back at the plane, it's dark and freezing. Teresa holds Sammy in her arms. She's rocking her tenderly.
Don't cry. Go to sleep, little baby.
A hospital, and Patty and her companion walk towards a nurse at a desk.
Can I help you?
Hi, I'm Patty Barr. I'm here to see my daughter, Samantha. She's here for surgery.
Just a minute. Someone wants to talk to you. Mrs. Barr is here.
A woman with dark hair wearing a dark red suit walks over to the waiting pair.
Mrs. Barr, I'm the chaplain here. I'm afraid I have some bad news.
At the plane, Teresa talks to Jack.
Her fever's rising again. I've given her a big dose of antibiotics, but we're going to have to ration the rest.
How long will they last?
Maybe 24 hours, if she doesn't get any worse.
Why is this happening?
The Emergency Rescue Center. Bob.
All right. We searched the grid between Rifle here in the northwest, south toward Aspen in the southeast. We've all got our sectors. Keep a listening watch on 121.5 for that ELT signal. Maybe we'll get lucky.
All right, guys. Let's head out.
All right.
After the storm blows over, there's worse forecast by the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Let's go get them.
All right. All the pilots head off. Back at the plane, Brad, Teresa, Sammy and Jack all lie next to each other under blankets in the dark. Brad switches a light on.
I got an idea. Tomorrow morning I'm going to set a forest on fire. No search plane is going to miss a forest fire.
Hold it. You could set us on fire too. Remember, we're covered in aviation fuel.
It's evaporated, Jack.
It's too dangerous.
I'll go and get some fuel from the wing tank. I'll go 50 yards from the plane, and I'll torch one tree.
What about the wind?
I'll go downwind.
It might work.
What if the wind turns?
Then we won't freeze to death. Come on, guys, I gotta try something.
Okay, give it a try.
All right. I need some way to carry the fuel.
What about a bedpan? You can siphon the fuel out of the wing tank with IV tubing.
Have any matches?
I don't smoke.
Big surprise. You know, we're all gonna die out here because we're too health conscious. Rick? Rick? Rick, wake up, buddy. Is there any matches anywhere?
What?
Wake up. Where are the matches? Matches. Is there any matches anywhere?
Oh, back there, in there.
Okay.
The ELT's in there.
Wait. You can use battery-powered defibrillators. If you strike them together, it'll make a spark.
All right. I'll try that in the morning.
Brad relaxes back under the covers. Back at Brad's house, his wife Angie walks into Justin's room. He's asleep under a thick quilt patterned with vibrant colours. Angie walks over to him and lies down on the bed. She strokes his hair and then puts a hand to her mouth to stop herself from crying too hard. Angie then gives Justin a tight cuddle whilst looking on absorbed. Daytime back at the plane, and Teresa suddenly wakes up.
Something's awake. Jack, wake up. Okay. It's light out. Sammy, honey, wake up.
What's the matter?
Sammy?
Teresa, what's the matter with her?
Call to her, Jack.
What?
Let her hear your voice.
Sammy? 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 Oh, pumpkin.
I got it.
We've got to get out of here. Really believe this would work? You're the one with all the police.
Brad and Jack wrap foam around their feet and tie it with material from the seats. They remove one of the windows and climb outside. Brad wears his thick paramedic duffel coat, whilst Jack wears his long overcoat with his right arm in a sling. Brad has a bedpan in his hand. They survey the vast, snow-covered, isolated mountainous area.
We're at South Canyon. How do you know? I hauled enough oil drilling equipment up this canyon to last a lifetime. Serving the Lord doesn't always pay that well.
I guess I've been kind of tough on you on that whole church thing, haven't I?
I've noticed.
Well, I think a man shouldn't have to depend on a crutch.
So what do you depend on?
Myself. Let's go.
I gotta get fuel from the wing tank.
Got it?
Yeah. Watch it step.
They fight their way through the snow to the wing.
You need some help?
Got it.
Brad clears snow from the wing. He uses a tube to siphon fuel from the tank. Suddenly, he loses his footing. Brad rolls down the slope a few yards, coming to rest by a tree.
Brad! 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 Brad!
Jack! My ribs!
Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on!
Brad slowly climbs back up the slope to Jack. They both continue to climb.
Brad! I can't do it!
Stop!
Brad!
Brad, stop!
Brad! Teresa!
Nothing works. Nothing. The snow's way too deep.
We couldn't get anywhere.
They can't hear us. They can't see us. We're trapped.
Not Grant. It's all right. We'll try something else. We'll find another way.
Don't you understand? We're not going to make it.
Teresa looks at the injured Brad, wanting to cry.
I'm not gonna make it.
Brad, with a blanket over him and bandages wrapped around his head, looks out of the plane's window morosely. Teresa clambers behind him.
Come on, Brad. Come on. You gotta keep moving. Come on.
I'm tired. I just
No, you can't sleep. She's growing weaker by the hour, but she's fighting for her life every minute. Look at her. Look at that little girl. Think how you'd feel if that were your kid.
Just want sleep.
You're scared.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, you're terrified. You're afraid everyone will know you're scared.
I said I'm not scared.
Oh, yeah. Your whole life's based on proving how brave you are. You'd rather die than let anyone know you're weak.
Shut up.
Prove me wrong, huh? Prove prove me wrong. I'll survive because I'm not a quitter like you.
Brad pushes Teresa off.
Listen, while you're up, go check on Rick for me, will you?
Brad looks at Teresa apologetically, then moves off. The mountains and canyons are obscured by the dense fog and low cloud that blankets the area. Through the clouds, two men are in a plane, one flying, the other looking out of the windows with binoculars.
We're low enough. Nothing. There's nothing. It's too thick. I'm going back up.
The view through the clouds is impenetrable. Back at the plane, Teresa and Brad create a makeshift bed.
Okay. That's better. Come on, Rick. Hey, Jack. Hand Sammy to Brad for help me here.
Okay.
Teresa helps Rick onto the bed. Jack hands Sammy to Brad whilst he gets comfy on the blankets also. As Sammy sleeps in Brad's arms, he looks at her with overwhelming emotion. He gently strokes her hair, and she slowly opens her eyes and looks up at him.
Hey, Sammy. I got a little kid just like you.
They look at each other.
See him again. I want to hold him in my arms and tell him I love him more than anything in this world.
Don't cry.
What?
Nothing.
Jack takes Sammy off Brad as Brad looks away. Jack gives him a comforting rub on his shoulder.
I know how you feel. Want to hold her for a while?
Yeah.
There you go.
Jack hands back Sammy to Brad, who takes her in his arms and gently rocks and kisses her on the forehead. The emergency rescue centre. Bob and a colleague speak to two pilots who were previously looking for the wreckage from their plane.
You guys get anything?
There's no ELT. It's all sunk into the mountains up there. There is no visibility at all.
Could you guys try again? With a storm coming in this afternoon, we'll barely have a two-hour window to find them. When that front hits, it could shut the area down for a week.
Sure. We'll go back up since we refuel.
Thanks. I mean it. Thanks, guys.
No sweat, Bob.
Let's get these choppers up.
Bob and his colleague get into a helicopter. They switch all the buttons to the on position, and the blades slowly begin to rotate. As more switches are turned and tweaked, the helicopter begins to slowly rise off the ground. Back at the plane, Brad toys with the ELT system. Jack speaks.
You getting anywhere?
Except for the antenna, I can't see anything else wrong with this. You know, one time in Alaska, we had this ELT signal in a crash. And this guy kept turning it on and off. He was trying to tell us that he was still alive, so we'd go after him.
How'd it end up?
We saved his life.
Jack wraps a bandage around his hand as Brad continues to try to fix the ELT system. Rick slowly stirs from his sleep. On board the helicopter, Bob and his fellow pilot continue their search of the vast terrain of the Rockies. The mountains are covered in snow and visibility is slightly better. Both Bob and his colleague look out of the windows of the chopper. Both men wear headsets so they can communicate with each other. The helicopter continues to scour miles and miles of desolate canyon.
Maybe we're not in the area. Maybe we're not even close.
They continue to fly over more and more terrain. Both men look out on all sides of the helicopter in a vain attempt for a sighting. The helicopter flies through some thick cloud. Bob switches frequencies on the radio.
There! Did you hear it?
Yeah, could be.
That's it! It's weak, but that's it! Let's see if we can lock in on it.
Mark!
Damn it, where did it go?
At the plane, Jack speaks.
Maybe we could... No, you're right. We'll clear the fuselage so maybe they can see us.
Brad and Jack try to open the window to exit the plane.
Frozen solid. Trapped.
In the helicopter, Bob and his co-pilot continue the search. The helicopter heads back. In the plane, Brad tries to get into the cockpit.
All right. It's not that bad. I think I can get through over there. Grab
No.
this. Hold on. You've been through enough. I'll go.
Jack takes over from Brad.
Got it?
Jack slowly climbs through the cockpit and out of the broken window. He stands on the nose of the plane.
Jack, you all right?
Yeah, I'm out. I'm okay.
Jack sits on the cockpit window and applies more bandages to his hands to stave off the cold. Inside the plane, Teresa tends to Sammy. Brad walks over to Teresa, and as she looks at him, her eyesight suddenly blurs and she blinks rapidly.
You're hurt, Teresa. We need to deal with it.
There's no time for that. This is the last of the antibiotics. And she's getting worse.
Jack speaks.
It's white! The plane's white! The fuselage, white!
Try the wing, Jack!
Jack nearly slips off the nose of the plane.
Jack, be careful.
I'm on the nose!
Jack wipes away snow from the side of the nose with his arm. Parallel painted stripes appear. Jack tries to clear more snow off the side of the plane, which faces downhill, but he slips and slides. Finally, he makes his way to the entry window, which is frozen shut.
I'm coming in!
He bangs on the window with his hand. The window is finally forced open, and Jack enters the plane assisted by Brad.
I got it cleared.
I'm gonna go outside for a signal.
The wing's kind of small. I don't know if I can be able to see it.
Brad climbs out onto the wing with the ELT system in his hand.
Ah! My feet! I can't feel my feet. My legs! Ow! My legs! My legs are numb. Oh, it's happening so fast. I can't feel my legs.
Hypothermia, Jack. Keep the blanket.
God. Oh, God, please. I can't feel my legs.
Help.
We're dying out here.
Come on, Jack. Come on. We're not going outside anymore.
It's too cold.
Rick holds Jack. Anja's watching TV at the hospital.
A steady stream of search aircraft are coming and going from this base in search of the Angel flight that went down somewhere between here and Aspen last night. And a new storm front is expected to hit this area within a few hours. The pilots in this desperate search say they must find the victims of the crash soon, before the new storm makes it virtually impossible. The Civil Air Patrol is working at full force. This is Martine Singer reporting live from Grand Rapids, Colorado.
Please watch over my family. There's nothing like a sleeping child. So innocent, so peaceful. Funny the things you think about when you get in a fix like this. I remember when my son Travis was around tour. We took him to a new playground. And I told him to stay off the slide. So, naturally, he had to sneak over there and try it himself. He nearly fell off. He was hanging there upside down. I could tell he hated having to be rescued. He was glad I was there. I was actually thinking about making this my last flight. Maybe taking some nice, safe work on the ground.
Two helicopters fly past the control tower at the Emergency Rescue Center. They both make to land. As they do so, the downdraft spews up snow that lies peacefully on the ground. As the blades slow down, Rob and his co-pilot leave the helicopter. At the plane, Teresa speaks. Teresa looks up disheartened. Rick looks around.
That's a...
It's a plane.
It's a plane.
Brad stands up on the wing of the plane with his ELT system in his hand. He looks up at the dense cloud. At the rescue centre...
Hey, let's split up! I'll fly with Frank! Double our chances!
Pilots get into their helicopters and take off. Back at the plane, Brad speaks into the ELT radio.
Unidentified aircraft! Unidentified aircraft! We are west of you, I repeat! We are west of you!
Brad looks up at the sky crushed. He blows into his hands, then kneels back down and bangs on the window. Teresa opens it and helps Brad in.
damn plane can't see us.
Sammy, come on, wake up.
I can't wake her up. I'm losing her. She's dying.
Sammy? Give it to me.
Sammy, wake up.
Sammy?
Pumpkin.
Come on, Sammy. She's unconscious. Come on, Sammy.
Sammy lies motionless in Teresa's arms. Rick, Teresa, Sammy, Jack, and Brad all lie asleep under blankets. Sammy lies still, eyes closed with her head at an awkward angle. At the hospital, Patty speaks to her older companion.
Pump, the people searching rifles say that a signal has been heard from the emergency transmitter. Now, I'm not sure what that means. It's a good thing, though, isn't it, Mom?
Oh, I hope so, honey.
I hope so.
In the plane, nothing and no one is stirring. All five of the injured party lie still and fast asleep. In a helicopter, Bob and his co-pilot both wear their headsets as they look out of the windows at the ground below. They continue to search the area of the catastrophe.
We're running out of time. You gotta be here somewhere.
At the plane, Sammy, eyes still closed, brings her hand from under the covers and holds it aloft in the air. Jack holds her delicate little hand in his. Everyone suddenly looks up.
They're right on top of us.
Brad climbs out and waves his blanket in the air.
Over here! Over here! Come on, give us the sign!
Teresa and Jack sit upright.
They can't see the blanket.
Here, Brad. Here, try this as a reflector.
An aluminium box.
Come on.
Where is it? Sorry.
There's no sun.
He throws the box down.
Come on, get in here. Tension and fuel. We'll light it on fire.
Okay.
Brad takes a blanket.
There's paper lighters. There's a machine there.
This?
Yeah, the whole handle. Pick it up.
I got it.
He douses it in fuel. Teresa arrives with a defibrillator. The defibrillator creates a spark and ignites the fuel on the blanket. Brad spins it around in circles.
I can't see him!
Brad throws the blanket away in anger, and Teresa sits deflated by the plane with a look of exhaustion on her face. Brad and Rick look out of the window. From below a rock face, a white helicopter appears. Teresa immediately stands up, face beaming in delight, and Bob waves at her from the cockpit, smiling. Teresa waves back and Brad puts his arms around her in elation. Rick and Jack grab each other's hand in celebration. Bob makes a spinning hand gesture to explain where he intends to land, and the helicopter moves off. Teresa watches wide-eyed. The helicopter does a 360-degree maneuver, then lands. Bob rushes out and wades through the snow to Teresa. From the other side of the precipice, another helicopter appears. Teresa takes Sammy out of the plane by handing her to Rick and then to Bob.
Come on, Sammy, sweetie. Come on, hang in there.
We're out of time, Bob. We gotta get her off this mountain.
Jack and Sammy are on board an elevating helicopter. Jack gratefully waves to the group below. Rick, in a blanket, stands next to Teresa. Bob talks to Brad.
Civil Air Patrol has a plane waiting to rush you to Denver.
We gotta get Rick out of here, too. He's got head injuries.
We'll fit in my machine. Let's get him on board.
We're going home.
Easy.
Got him?
Yeah.
Listen, Rick. There's about one place on this whole mountainside you could have set this plane down in one piece. You did one hell of a job of piloting. I'd fly with you any day.
We did it. We did it. You know all that stuff that you said about me? About...
No, I didn't mean that. I was just...
You're right. I do put on a big show.
Me too.
You.
Shaking in my boots the whole time.
Come on, buddy. Let's go.
Brad puts his arm around Rick's waist and leads him off. Bob helps Teresa off the wing of the plane. They both smile at each other lovingly and then embrace longingly, turning round as they hold on to each other. Bob closes his eyes and nuzzles Teresa's neck. The helicopter carrying the group flies through the canyon and into the emergency rescue center past an American flag. A group of people wait outside near a wooden building and an ambulance is on the concourse. A paramedic opens the doors to the helicopter as it touches down. Brad and Teresa get out. They have fresh blankets over them and they help to get Rick out, who is then put onto a waiting stretcher. Brad throws off his blanket as soon as his son races towards him. He kneels down and holds on tight to Justin. Brad sees his wife and releases his grip on his son to hold Angie. They both rock gently from side to side.
I gotta tell you something.
No, I have to tell you. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. I realized something out there.
I almost lost it out there, Angie. No, no, you didn't, because you're here.
Been alone, I wouldn't have made it.
Baby, you're not alone. Okay?
I love you.
I love you.
Daddy, Daddy. I hope when we get home, there's lots of snow now.
At the hospital, Jack is pushed in a wheelchair towards his wife, who is weary and tired. She's surprised to see him.
Jack, you should be in bed.
She kneels beside him and places her head on his chest, caressing the back of his head.
Have you heard anything yet?
Not yet.
Teresa's in hospital, in bed.
You're a hero. I don't know how you did it.
It's funny. The hardest part was thinking about what you and Travis were going through.
They look thoughtfully at each other.
Oh, it was an ordeal, all right. The kid's cooking's pretty awful. Oh, Travis. Hey, buddy.
Hey. You know that birthday we promised to have together?
He produces a cake.
You bought that.
I got something for you.
I'm so happy that you're okay.
I told you I'd make it back.
She gives him the birthday card she made while stranded on the mountain. Bob looks down at his feet contentedly. An aerial view of the snow-covered Rockies.
People don't walk away from mountain crashes like ours. Maybe Jack was right. Maybe it was a miracle. Today, Jack continues to inspire his congregation. Brad's still the paramedic. And Rick, our pilot, fully recovered from his injuries. He was exonerated of any pilot error. It was determined that a mechanical failure caused the crash. Rick resumed his air charter business. And me, I'm still flying the Angel flights. Though sometimes I ask myself why. But you know, the little girl Sammy, we put it on the line for. Sammy's doing just fine.
Mountains are covered in snow as Jack pushes Sammy on a swing. Sammy beams with delight. The end.